Please open your scriptures to Psalm 124. We're in the middle of a series of those psalms that they're called the Psalms of Ascent, or Songs of Ascent, if you would. Am I heard all right? Is the level correct? Or could it be higher, perhaps? More volume, less volume, about right? Robert in the back, is it good? It's good. Okay. It's hard for me to tell. Okay. Psalm 124. Now I feel like all of a sudden, it's like God kicked in, you know? It's good. Psalm 124. And this is a song of ascents, and it's of David. If it had not been for the Lord, who was on our side, let Israel now say, if it had not been for the Lord who was on our side, when people rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us up alive. When their anger was kindled against us, when the flood would have swept us away, the torrent would have gone over us, then over us would have gone the raging waters. Blessed be the Lord who has not given us as prey to their teeth. We have escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken, and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Let's pray. Lord, as we remember our God, we celebrate your deliverances in our life, not only in our personal lives, but in the life of your church. We thank you for the recovery of the simple and pure gospel in Luther's day. So we just sang the song of the refuge, this fortress that you were to that reformer and to all, Lord, who took a stand for your truth and for your righteousness in the face of many, many enemies. But we know, Lord, that those times are not so different from our times. And we, again, look to you as our help, even the Lord who made heaven and earth, for your protection, that we may, Lord, find our safety and our peace. And we pray this in the Savior's name, Jesus. Amen. Please be seated. I don't know if you can recall a narrow escape. Children, have you ever been in a situation where you were in very, very bad danger, and at the last second you found yourself, delivered, saved. You were saved. I remember one time I was driving home. It was a Friday afternoon after a long, busy week at work. This was in Kentucky. And I was on a highway. And that day, the traffic was particularly slow. And it had periods where the traffic would move suddenly, and then it would stop suddenly. It was very unpredictable. Well, anyway, I was driving, and I was in the left lane of a divided highway with a grass median in between. And I was going about 50, 55, and all of a sudden, the guy in front of me slows down it just stops very, very quickly. Well, I had been watching, but it happened very, very quickly. And so what I did was I looked to the right very quickly, and there was traffic in my right lane. I couldn't go there. I looked to the left and was going to go on the grassy median because I knew if I didn't do something, I was in jeopardy of hitting the car in front of me because he had stopped so quickly. But as I began my turn, I checked my rearview mirror only to see an 18-wheel semi-truck right on my tail going my speed, doing the same, going on the grassy median. So I said, I'm not going to be in front of that monster. I'll take my chances with the little car in front of me even if I hit it. So I veered again into the lane and stopped about an inch short of the chrome. Meanwhile, that 18-wheeler zoomed by me at about 50 miles an hour. It didn't stop for another 50 yards. Of course, my heart was beating very, very rapidly. And I remembered at that time, I remembered looking at the wheel and say, deliverance. Wow, that was a shave. That was a shave. Well, God is a God of deliverances. The saints know a lot of narrow escapes. The saints in this world, if the curtain of the invisible spiritual war could be lifted, we would see a lot of scraps with a lot of danger. And the Lord and his mighty angels fighting on our behalf and delivering us and putting us again in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Everyone here knows, if you have a testimony of salvation, knows deliverance. Well, Jehovah is a God of deliverance. But Jehovah doesn't deliver just everyone. Jehovah delivers, ultimately, Israel. That's what God has promised. That's what God has done. And that's what God continues to do. Jehovah delivers Israel. And that's the title of the sermon. Now, the context, of course, here are those pilgrims that are on their way to Jerusalem, the three annual feasts wherein the males were required to attend the ordinances in Jerusalem. Pilgrims on their way in the road are always at risk, especially as they are traveling through neighboring countries to arrive at Zion, because a lot of those countries were hostile to Israel. They were enemies to Israel. And even if the nations were friendly, there are bandits, there are thieves, there are mobs in every place and every time, and in some places worse than others. I remember reading Daubigny in the history of the Reformation in the time of Geneva, and a lot of people like to make the medieval times something very romantic and safe and all this. But Geneva as a city was surrounded by bandits. It seemed like every baron in a castle had his fiefdom based on thievery and violence and blood. People who left and journeyed back and forth on the roads had to be accompanied by a garrison of soldiers, well armed. It was a very dangerous time. And yet the reformers, by and large, the reformers were spared much, because many had to travel to places like Geneva to find sanctuary. They traveled there in hordes from Paris and from Orléans, from various places in France, because of the persecution against them there in those places. But we face many enemies. Wherever we are, we know that Satan is as a roaring lion. And so our deliverances are from Jehovah, because our enemies are more powerful and we don't have the resources. But the teaching here is that Jehovah delivers you from all that would overwhelm you. Jehovah God delivers you. And that's in the present tense very deliberately, because he continues. He doesn't deliver us once. He doesn't deliver us one time and then we are saved, as in our justification. He is continually with us as our protection and as our Savior. So 3 points this evening. Well, the first one is that all whom Jehovah favors, he delivers. The favor of Jehovah means salvation. The friendship of the Lord means deliverance. Jehovah favors, however, his people, Israel. See what the scripture says: if it had not been for Jehovah who was on our side, let Israel now say. If the Lord had not been on our side when people rose up against us, then we would have been swallowed up alive when their anger was kindled against us. Then the flood would have swept us. The Lord is on our side, and who is the R? Let Israel now say. Israel is the people of God. And it was historically the people of God by covenant in the Old Testament. Today, the church is called the Israel of God in Paul. In Galatians 6, Paul calls us such. Peace be upon all those who live by this rule, not of circumcision, but of faith in Christ unto justification. Upon that people, let there be peace, and even upon the true Israel of God. Jehovah then favors his people Israel, and he favors in this way to deliver constantly deliver, being a shepherd to them, watching them. He delivers no one else. It's a place of great, great advantage and favor, incomparable. See, because God, Jehovah is good to all his creatures, but no other nation as a group has this favor of him, nor can any other nation cry out to him and demand that he keep his promises to be a good God to them. You can't take these things for granted, because God can only be entreated by covenant. If he's promised and he's made peace with you through his covenant, then you may approach him boldly through faith in the mediator. Otherwise, men and women, boys and girls, cannot come to God, because we are polluted. We're sinful. We're defiled. We're full of things that God hates. He hates darkness. He hates sin and rebellion. Oh, no other nation then is covenanted with Jehovah like the nation that bears his name. Psalm 147 teaches as much. Psalm 147 and the two verses there. God declares his word to Jacob, his statutes and rules to Israel. He has not dealt thus with any other nation. They do not know his rules. Praise the Lord. Now, when you look on a globe or a map and you see all those nations, that's not what it means. It doesn't mean the United States is favored and others, no, they're not receiving his favor. It means that the people of God as a nation, the people whose nation, who is the nation redeemed of the Lord, who bears his name, that nation, that's the one who receives his teaching. That's the one who receives his rules and his favor. He does not teach everyone the same. In fact, Jesus said, don't throw your pearls before swine. Don't teach them these holy things of God. They disparage them. And you'll do yourself a favor by being quiet and not teaching the rebellious and the wicked these things, because when you teach it to them, they blaspheme, and it's only adding fuel to their own fiery hell. Be merciful to them. Don't give them the holy things of God, or they will rise up and despise them, and by doing so, be guilty of even greater sins. But God does not deal with everyone in the same way. But now Jehovah delivers his people in particular from those who are not of his favor. Yeah, the people who are not of his nation, the people who are not Israel, are the men of this world or the men of this age. And the Psalter here goes on to say that there are many that are set against Jehovah's pilgrims. And that's why he said, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when people rose up against us, they would have swallowed us up alive when their anger was kindled against us. When the flood would have swept us away, the torrent would have gone over us. Then over us would have gone the raging waters. Now, that's not in vain. That should be reminiscent of the first of these Psalms of Ascent that we covered, Psalm 120. There we discovered that the pilgrim had many, many things to fear, but the greatest concern that the pilgrim had in reaching Zion was that little thing inside your mouth, the tongue of the wicked that is fashioned being small, but it is capable of great lies, great mischief, great intrigue, and violence. And so it is, and so it has been from the beginning of the world. The seed of the serpent is set against the seed of the woman. There is no fixing this except through Christ. There is no reconciling the two. There is no League of Nations, no United Nations. There is no police force. There's no National Guard that can keep peace between those two. Even Esau and Jacob in the womb wrestled because one was of a holy seed and the other was not. Twins in every way, born the same day, same mother, same womb. One was elect, the other was not. Irreconcilable war. And we saw how the rest of those lives spelled out, didn't we, in our preaching through Genesis. The world is set against Jehovah, and so the world is set against Jehovah's children. And Jehovah's children are all pilgrims. The pilgrim ascends to God. And it's a play here, a Hebrew play on the words that the worldling, the men of this age, they also ascend, but they ascend rising up against the pilgrim. They have a song of ascent. Their song of ascent goes like this: let's swallow them up. Let's go ahead and just rip them apart with our teeth. Let's bowl them over like a torrent, like a stream. And the pilgrim is just like, who wrote this, is like Christ who uses the imagery all around him to teach those that are around him. They're probably in their travels are coming up against maybe a dry bed, which in those places are called wadis. And by the way, the Arabic also uses the word wadi. And when the Arabs were in Spain, the Spanish can't say wadi, but they say guadi. And so that's where we get Guatemala and where we get Guadalajara and all sorts of other things that are really wadis or riverbeds that go dry. But anyway, the wadis are famous. I remember the first wadi that I saw, I mean an official wadi, there. Every floodplain that has a narrow gorge and is subject to flooding, sudden flooding, is really a wadi. But wadi propers are found in the west, because they were named like that because of our Spanish ancestors west of here. And wadis have this property: they're dry. They just look like a dry bed, very dusty, nothing there, until maybe hundreds of miles upstream, there should be a sudden cloudburst, a lot of rain. The water quickly accumulates in these gullies, and they come ripping down the Wadi Valley. And if you're standing there, by the time you hear its roar, you're gone. And it's not like you're surfing. You're in a molten mix of rock and gravel and debris and wood and glass, and you are in big trouble. It sweeps you away with a violent force. The first one I saw was in Austin, and I was amazed to see that. Well, the traveler there would have seen this and would have said that, you know, that's just like the world. That's what we face. We have seasons where it appears that this dry stream bed is safe. It appears that we can travel through this on our pilgrimage. We got our families with us. We have our friends with us. Maybe we have some cattle or some other sheep with us, and let's traverse the wadi. But all of a sudden, the waters are pounding. All of a sudden, way, way far away, the torrents have caused a tremendous force to come ripping through that valley, and everything that's path is swept away. That's how defenseless we are of ourselves before those who would oppose us. That's how we should view our enemies. But Jehovah wills to deliver us, even from these narrow escapes. With me, at the time when I saw that big 18-wheeler behind me, I had just a fraction of a second, but I had time. In some deliverances, we don't have time. But God is the God of time, and He sees all, and He will deliver us, even when our reaction rate, even when our response may not warrant us. But God will save and favor. Romans 9, verses 10. When Rebekah had conceived children by one man, our forefather, Isaac, though they were not yet born, done nothing good or evil, in order that God's purpose by election might continue, not because of works, but because of Him who calls, she was told, "The older will serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated." Jacob I loved. That's why Israel is saved. God's doing. All whom God favors, He delivers. The second point is that all who worship Jehovah in the world need deliverance. Everyone whose heart is set on pilgrimage will need deliverance because your enemies are numerous, because your enemies are vicious, and because your enemies hate you with a violent and irreconcilable hatred. Because your enemies are mightier than you, as described by all these floodwaters, torrents, and because your enemies are unpredictable. The wadi beds are dry, the torrents come fast, raging waters. Your only hope is to continually rest in Jehovah who leads you. That's your only chance. And so you need to draw near to God, a mighty fortress, a bulwark, never failing. See, if your heart is set on pilgrimage, then you have chosen God as your rock. He is your place of safety. And there, nothing can touch you. The waters will always threaten that house. But if it's built on the rock, it is built to last. Other houses, they may have many, many resources. They may have armies. They may have money. They may have martial arts. They may have any number of means, humanly speaking, of escape. But they do not have the rock, which is Jehovah. And only the rock delivers, and delivers consistently. And you will need deliverance. You set your heart earnestly to seek God, to seek His face, and you will feel the brunt of all the enemies of Jehovah. This is not paranoia. This is the teaching of Scripture. God commands us to sing the Psalms because we are slow to believe that this can be possible. All of our upbringing in the Western Civ these days, all of our schooling has been, well, you know, people are basically good. No, you shouldn't think such hard. How would you expect to win anyone to this kind of religion, telling people that they're vicious, dangerous, and unpredictable? Well, that's up to the Lord to do. What we do is we just read what the Scripture says and what the Lord thinks of such people, that they need to be changed. The world needs to be changed. And Jehovah is the only one that can change. So all whom Jehovah favors, He delivers. All who worship Jehovah, they need this deliverance. You need to be sure of this. And then the third point is all who worship Jehovah celebrate His deliverance. They know. They know, as I knew, that was a close brush with that semi-truck, that 18-wheeler. That was close. I knew that I was spared. I was grateful. Thank God for that one. But they blessed Jehovah. They give Him the glory because they realize it was His doing. And they have good reason to do this, because they blessed Jehovah for not forgetting them. That's what the Scripture says in verse 6. Blessed be the Lord Jehovah, who has not given us as prey to their teeth. What does that mean? He could have just ignored the situation and let them be taken as prey in their teeth. But He did not let them. He intervened. You see, if they had been consumed as prey in the mouth of a wild beast, of course that would have been by Jehovah's will. Whether the Lord actively decreed it or He decreed not to save them, it would have amounted to the same thing. Their being destroyed by an enemy would have been the Lord's will. Okay? But it was not Jehovah's will. And so He has said not to give them over to our enemies. Otherwise, the church of God, the people of God, these pilgrims would have been as prey for wild animals. Now that's God's view of the unregenerate world. Is it your view? Do you know the danger, the violence, the madness? There's madness in the heart of men all the days of their life, said the wisest man in the world in his day, and that was King Solomon. There's madness. Destruction. Folly. And we were once that way. But God was gracious. God intervened. God made the difference. He granted us his favor. God granted us the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. God granted us grace to believe. God granted us faith and grace to fear him, to repent from the wrath of God to come. He convinced us that our sins were heaped to the heavens and God could strike out against us and justifiably consume us. But God chose to be merciful, and he delivered us, and he treated us not as we deserve. We don't deserve any. There was no difference between us and the rest of these animals. But God made the difference in our lives and set us in a path of holiness, a path of deliverance, a path of salvation. And this is what the psalmist means by favor. By favor, here in this passage, what it means is Jehovah willing to your good. That's what favor means. He wills to your good. Or why is it that Israel was saved from Egypt, whereas Egypt was judged with all those 10 plagues? Well, it was strictly because of the favor that he extended to Abraham and to his seed, the promised seed of Abraham. And he makes a distinction between his nation there in captivity, under bondage of Pharaoh, and he goes by the hand of his prophet Aaron and Moses, he delivers them. That's God's favor contrasted against God's wrath against Egypt. And there are only those two positions. Jehovah's deliverances then are sometimes narrow, but they're sure. Sometimes they take long, like 400 years for Israel to come out of Egypt. But when they work, they are effective. And the psalmist here says that he has escaped, or Israel has escaped, like a bird from the snare of the fowlers. They were captive. It looked like there was no way out. It looked like that was the end. But you know, isn't that true? Every good story has like that. You've seen the Avengers movies, all this, you know, Marvel. Close brushes, right? Our superhero almost dies. Man, it's just a whisker away from death. But instead, he lives. See, Jehovah has broken the snare. We're like little birds. We're like little birds that people sport with, that the wicked sport with. You know, in the Middle East, what they do is they set these nets just on the other side of hills, little bunkers. And when the birds fly low, they fly over the hill, and then they come down, they swoop down the hill, and they don't see the net in time, and they get caught. Boom! They're caught in the net. Well, that's an easy little lunch or a little snack for guys. That's how the birds are caught in their snares. Can't get out. They're all tangled up. The more they struggle, the more they're tangled. The bird can't release himself. We can't repent. Can a leopard change his spots? Can the Ethiopian change his skin? So can you who are accustomed to evil. Now turn and do good. You can't change. Whoever thought that you can, at the last minute, decide you can be a Christian just before you die? Well, the Lord will save me. I'll just repent. You're crazy. Your beak and your claws and your wings and everything you are is trapped. You can't. You're entangled in sin. God has to break the net. God has to set you free. And if he doesn't, then your breakfast. That's right. Jehovah will continue, however, to do this, to deliver his people from every snare. Everyone who knows his name, says the scriptures, his covenant, and those who acknowledge him as creator and sovereign. And that's why every Sunday morning, you say, why does Vegas sit up there and say, our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven? Why is that every single Sunday he says that? Is that some kind of a rubric from Greenville Seminary? What is that? It's a very old rubric. It is confessing that God has been the deliverer of his church in time past. He delivers his church now, and he will continue to deliver his church. God is our help, even the maker of heaven and earth. And so he can do all things. Heaven and earth, as I've described before, is a merism, which means the creator of everything. Heaven and earth being the bookmarks. Everything in between is from him. So Jehovah has the power and authority to deliver, as well as he has the will to do so, to favor you, if you are his servant, if you are by covenant in him, if you have placed your trust in his Savior, the Lord Jesus, and are walking according to his light. Otherwise, you are not of his people, you are not under his favor, and you fall into the other camp. You fall into the camp of the enemies of his Israel, and these will all be consumed. Let me conclude our teaching. Jehovah always delivers his covenant people, Israel. Jehovah does so because he has set his favor upon them and not upon any other people. The rest of the world is against Jehovah and his people and has been from the beginning, so that his people are always in peril because of their numerous and powerful enemies. Nevertheless, Jehovah's worshipers are safe because they are continually delivered from their enemies by the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. And this brings joy and results in blessing, celebration before Jehovah for all of his deliverance. Now, beloved, you need to be a wise pilgrim. You need to understand how this works. You need to believe that you are Jehovah's because he favored you. It's by grace, by election. It's his choice. It's not by the will of man, not by the will of flesh, but the will of God. We see this plainly, and the Jews even today still think that they are, because it was so plain in the reading of the Old Testament. We see these things more plainly when the title belongs to another body than to our own selves. We're slow to appropriate these promises and these benefits. It's the sin in us that keeps us from really relishing the promise. We plainly see that the Jew is God's favored people in the Old Testament, but we don't relish that today. We don't relish. The Christian world is divided on this, and they're not sure. They don't like the title of election. They want to be fair to everybody. Well, let God worry about being fair to everybody. Now, does Jehovah still favor political Israel today? Is that the nation? Is that what it's talking about here? Because, you know, you make the claim here that Jehovah delivers Israel. But Israel has not always been delivered, has it? In fact, when Israel has broken covenant, Israel was not delivered. And the last time Israel broke covenant was when they killed the blessed Son of God, nailing him and condemning him as a transgressor, unjustly, without process, before the heathen. No, Israel is not favored in this sense. And unless they turn and embrace their Messiah, the Lord Jesus, they are in perdition. Who then is the Israel of God? I've already said so. Paul says, all who know God's peace, who live by the rule of faith in Christ, and do not put any trust in the flesh, this is the Israel of God. It's always been the case. Not just in the New Testament, but the children of God have always been the children of faith. And that's the teaching of both Romans and Galatians. So what we see is that Jehovah God has cut the cords of Satan's net. And that close brush, if you're a Christian, you know it. You know what it's like to be entangled, and you know what it's like to be free. That's salvation. Now also, be a wise pilgrim. Not only understand that's how you became a pilgrim, and that's your quest, but you need to be watchful because the days are evil. It wasn't just the days of the Apostle Paul that are called evil, but the days are still evil. It's an evil age. And not any kind of money or power or fame or youth or strength or intelligence will deliver you from the fowler. Only God can deliver. And then you need to meditate on the promises and deliverances of Jehovah. You can start in your life, as I just did, recounting a close call with an 18-wheeler. But there are many ways. You know, the Lord has spared you from marrying the wrong spouse, and the wrong husband, or the wrong wife. The Lord has delivered you from illness, or recovered you from great sickness. The Lord has delivered you from making financial mistakes. Or even if you fall into disgrace, the Lord gives you grace to endure it. The Lord gives you plenty of humility so you can bear up. Your spirit is not crushed, so you can thank God in adversity. He strengthens you and He builds your trust even at a time when it looks like through trials you should be worn out and wearing away. But instead, what He's shown is that you're on the granite. The rock holds. All this is of the Lord, who is marvelous in His deliverance. His greatest deliverances sometimes are invisible. Only the spiritual world knows the strength, the faith, the peace of the child of God. Sometimes the world doesn't understand the comfort of the Holy Spirit. But the child of God knows this and doesn't need any outward emblems of God's hope and God's grace and favor. He has all the emblems of the Lord's love in his own soul. He knows it. He tastes heaven's kindness. Is that you? Is this the pilgrim? Can you celebrate deliverance at worship? Do you know what I'm talking about? My friends, every pilgrim will need a forerunner, or he will not make it to Jerusalem. You need a captain of hosts. You need the one who goes before us, even to beyond the veil to the very presence of God. You may reach the city, but you still have to reach the inner sanctum of the Lord, and only Christ can take you there. You may have a form of godliness in all of your religious keeping, the Lord's Day and all this, but have you met with God at the mercy seat? Have you gone before Him through the blood of Christ, through His body? You see, if Christ has led you there, then you are a pilgrim indeed. And whether you go out or come in, wherever you go, you will be safe because you are with Jehovah, your deliverer. Let's pray. Almighty God, we thank You for salvation to the uttermost. We can scarcely believe it. We have trouble believing that Your choice is this good. We're like Jacob playing with the spotted and streaked sheep, not knowing that anything that we do, You will bless, because You have set Your favor upon us, and You want to exalt the Lord Jesus and His mighty work of salvation. Show forth then Your glory in our lives in the present age, and may Your church, Lord, be that bride, that people, that loves pilgrimage, with the setting their hearts upon Zion, even as Jesus set His face like flint upon Jerusalem, even when we are called to tribulation. And may You continue to save us from the raging waters and from the tempest and all the rebellion all around You. Blessed be the Lord who will do it through Jesus. Amen.